You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's a special Memorial Day edition, everybody. Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome in on a Memorial Day Monday, May 30th, and a Tuesday, May 31st. It is indeed Matt Derry. Thanks for listening and joining us, making us your first listen each and every day here on Locked On Lions on the Locked On Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Where do we start today? It is simple. TJ Hockenson is going to get paid. And if you don't think so, and you don't think he's not going to be the highest paid tight end soon, the David Njoku contract is something we have to talk about with the Browns and how it kind of plays with TJ's situation. We'll do that coming up momentarily on the show. Also, Pro Football Focus gave some serious love and called one of the Lions players elite. We will tell you who coming up on the show today. Also, kind of give you a background and the schedule as to what's going on this week. We've got to do that in terms of OTAs. And then at the end of this week and the next week, a mandatory mini camp for the Lions where everybody must be in Allen Park. Now, the team had great attendance for OTAs week one. They got OTAs week two later on this week, but we'll tell you all about it coming up on the show today. We are, as I mentioned, you can find us on Twitter at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, at Locked On Lions on Twitter, and also the Matt Derry Facebook fan page, and of course, LockedOnLions.com. Soon, this week, we're shooting for it. We are going to have the show each and every day on YouTube. So be ready for that as well. It should be very, very exciting to get the show, both video and audio, daily for you. But start now by subscribing to our page. We have a page on YouTube, the Locked On Lions YouTube page. Start subscribing now. Hit that subscribe button, and let's rock and roll, and you're going to get the video and the audio both each and every day. All right, I saw this last week, and I give John Macaroon some credit from SI.com, All Lions. He wrote about it as well. But David Njoku had been negotiating with the Browns for really months to try to get a new contract. Now, he's been in the league 5 years, tight end, he's 25 years old, whereas TJ Hockenson of the Lions, of course, has been in the league 3 years. Now, the thing with the chief, as they call him in Cleveland, David Njoku, is he's not been everything that the Browns thought he would be. He's had 150 catches in 5 years. Last year, he had 36 receptions for 475 yards and 4 touchdowns. He's a year older than Hockenson. If you recall last year, I don't want to do this, it's not Locked On Browns, but let's just for bleeps and giggles here. David Njoku last year turned into the second tight end for the Browns because they went out and signed Austin Hooper to a big free agent contract, and he was kind of a bust. And now he's gone and signed with the Titans. The Browns basically cut him. But now Njoku's contract is up. He's been there 5 years. And he got an extension the other day after being franchise tagged for 4 years and $56.75 million, $14 million a year for a tight end who, again, was a number two tight end the last couple of years and who's got 148 catches for 1,700 yards and 15 career touchdowns in 5 years. And you look at some of the elite tight ends in the league, which includes our very own TJ Hockenson. But $14 million a year for David Njoku is all on potential. The Browns have no other tight ends. They dropped Austin Hooper. They need to keep their guy there. They think he can work with Deshaun Watson. And now he's going to be making, he'll be the second highest paid tight, or third highest paid tight end after George Kittle, who makes $15 a year, Travis Kelce, who makes $14.3 million. Then you've got Njoku. Dallas Goedert makes 14. Mark Andrews makes 14. Hunter Henry of the Patriots, 12.5. Jonnu Smith of the Patriots, 12.5. And then Njoku, who used to make 10, now moves up. But Mike Gesicki's better than Njoku. Dalton Schultz is better than Njoku. Zach Ertz is better than Njoku. Evan Engram, Kyle Pitts, CJ Uzama, Hockenson. The list goes on and on of players that probably, if you look at it and you go through the list of tight ends, David Njoku's not a top 15 tight end in the NFL. But again, based on potential size, and he's had some good games for the Browns, they had to pay him. So what does this mean, for T.J. Hockenson? Well, anybody that thinks that the starting point for him is not going to be $15 million a year, you're crazy. T.J.'s situation is right now he's entering year four of his four-year deal with the team. He makes around $5 million a year. The Lions, I almost said Browns, the Lions can franchise tag him after this season. All right, but they're already starting to talk to him about a long-term deal. And you would figure that that is something that the Lions would want to do. Why not? T.J. Hockenson's a really good football player. He's been to the Pro Bowl in 2020. You know, here's Njoku in five years, he's caught 150 passes in 3 years, including four games missed his rookie year and five games missed last year due to injury. Hockenson has 160 catches. Njoku in five seasons has 15 touchdowns. Hockenson in 3 years has 12. Hockenson's been to a Pro Bowl, like I said, in 2020. He is considered a top 8, top 9, top 10 tight end. But after this season, his contract is up. The team can place the tag on him. They can keep him around. But I think they want to get him signed to a long-term deal. But this news for Hockenson is huge because Njoku is not done what TJ has done. And he is about to get paid. And if there's people out there saying, now, wait a minute, why would T.J. Hockenson get any more money than George Kittle and Travis Kelce? It's the same reason Kirk Cousins got more money than Aaron Rodgers. Why Matthew Stafford, for like 5 minutes, was the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Timing is everything. But Njoku getting $14 million a year, 4 years and $53-plus million, is a joke. No pun intended. I mean, he's a good player, but he's not Hockenson. He's not Gesicki. He's not Janu. He's not Mark Andrews. He's not Dallas Goedert. Certainly not Kelce or Kittle. He's not even Kyle Pitts, who's played 1 year. He's not Zach Ertz, who got close to $11 million a year from the Cardinals last year. I think it was 4 at 40, or maybe he signed that this offseason. So T.J. Hockenson, to me, based off of this Njoku deal, is going to get, at the starting point, $15 to $16 million a year, and he's going to bypass Kittle and Kelce and become the highest-paid tight end of the game if the Lions want to do that now. And I know there's going to be some people saying, well, wait a minute, he doesn't deserve it. He catches the ball and he goes to the ground. He's always hurt. Why would you make that kind of commitment to him? It's simple. The last guy to sign was Njoku, who just got $28 million in guaranteed money, and he's making $14 million a year. That's it. So, you know, they picked up his fifth-year option. The Lions did. I forgot about this. That's going to be worth $9.4 million in 2023. So they could tag him after that. My mistake from before. Let me correct myself. He's got a four-year deal with a club option for the fifth year for being a first-round pick. The fifth-year option, which was already picked up, which, of course, it was going to be, which they must do before this season, which they did, is worth $9.4 million in 2023. But he wants to, obviously, get a long-term deal done, and the Lions have said the same thing. As John McAroon wrote at SI.com, Brad Holmes said at the owners' meetings, quote, Hockenson obviously is a big part of what we did last year. It was unfortunate when he became unavailable for us due to injury, but he's another player that we'll continue to lean on this year. So they want to keep him around. And they could tag him after next season. But he's not going anywhere. I wouldn't think. Unless this year he just gets hurt again, very early on. And, you know, but I think the way this is going, that they want to get a long-term deal done with him. Is it urgent at this moment? No. But we'll have to wait and see on that. But I think he's going to become the highest paid tight end in the league. I think it's going to happen. This Njoku deal is great for TJ Hawkins. It's phenomenal, actually. Your thoughts on it. At Derry Speaks on Twitter, at Locked On Lions, and the Matt Derry Facebook fan page. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs. We got the NBA Finals come up this week, folks. Celtics and Warriors. You want to bet on it? Go to BetOnline. Get all the information at BetOnline.net. Major League Baseball, of course, fights, and next year's NFL futures. It's all there for you at BetOnline. Your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today, betonline.net, or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. I was just thinking, and I want to get to this PFF story in a second, but I was just thinking about the Hawkinson thing. Could you imagine how much better his numbers would be? And his numbers are already pretty darn good. But how much better his numbers would be is if he didn't go to the ground all the time. I know Kevin Kelly, one of our listeners on Twitter, and a few others commented to me the other day about the same thing. There was a video that the Lions put out on their website from OTAs last week, and I think I mentioned this. Jared Goff throwing a ball to TJ Hawkinson. And look, TJ's a big dude, good pass catcher, good blocker. He catches the ball and immediately slides to the ground. And it's like, he does that all of the time. Imagine his yards and his yak if he just stayed on his feet. And I'm sure the coaching staff is working with him on it. And look, he wants to secure the football, and it's better that a guy at 6'4", 251 is not going to get his head bashed in. But, you know, by a safety or a linebacker. But he just always goes to the ground. And he's a really good player. He's not a great player. I think now that the team has added the likes of Jameson Williams and DJ Chark and Amon-Ra St. Brown, now is a consistent target, that TJ Hawkinson will get more looks. I think there were some games, you know, last year and even the year, even this Pro Bowl year in 2020, where we were like, where is he today? Why aren't they getting him the football? Is he not getting open? You know, he's not Kittle. He's not Kelsey. I get that. I mean, those two are in a league, in a class by themselves. But, you know, Hawkinson has that ability. He's a top 10 pick. This is not a guy that they got in the third or fourth round. Look, there are some tight ends, like we mentioned Dallas Goedert and others, that were drafted later on. But I'm expecting big things from Hawkinson this year, and I expect the Lions to pay him. What else do the Lions have at tight end? I know they, you know, they've drafted a tight end this year, and they've got a UDFA that they like, and, you know, Brock Wright and all that, but they don't. I mean, TJ Hawkinson could be, especially this year with this offensive line and now more weapons around him, he could become an elite player if he can stay on the field. Again, he missed the last four games his rookie year, played every game second year, and made the Pro Bowl. And then, you know, last year pretty solid. In 12 games, 61 catches, 583 yards, and four touchdowns. Not spectacular. And again, it was in an offense where, you know, Jared Goff got off to a lousy start, then Goff got hurt. You know, you were asking Hawkinson to try to, you know, get open in an offense that basically was 2 or 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I mean, Tim Boyle, in the games that he started, they didn't even barely let him throw the ball down the field. I think this year will be different, and I think Hawkinson will have a pretty big season. So I'm definitely excited to see that and excited about that. I mentioned before about some key dates. So last week, of course, we told you about OTAs and the players that were there and who wasn't there, and Dan Campbell talking about Aaron Glenn and all those things. So the first week of OTAs is now done. This week, the Lions will practice and have their second round of organized team activities, June 1st through the 3rd. So they will practice Wednesday through Friday in what is considered a voluntary organized team activity. Then on Sunday through Tuesday, June 5th through the 7th, the Lions will have a mandatory mini camp. As the collective bargaining agreement states, clubs may hold one mandatory mini camp for veteran players. This mini camp must occur during phase 3 of the off-season program. Minicamp is a competitive three-day period without contact. Teams use this time to evaluate who came in ready to work and who got better over the course of OTAs. It's a chance for players to put a final impression on coaches before the summer break and the start of training camp around 6 weeks later. Very, very cool. So that is where we're at with that. So Sunday through Tuesday of next week will be mandatory minicamp where everybody's got to show up. Even players that are injured, we talked about Taylor Decker last week being out. It's a minor injury, but they wanted to hold him out. But again, it's a chance to practice, really. And the one thing that we've seen with the Lions is their attendance for OTAs and the voluntary stuff is near 100%, which is awesome. You don't have any veterans sitting out. You don't have anybody at home talking about not being there. Nobody's holding out. Nobody's upset about a contract. Everybody seems to be on the same page. So that is that's exciting. That's very, very cool. So I mean, that's when mandatory minicamp is coming up. What about an elite player? According to PFF, we're going to tell you who that is coming up next right here on Locked On Lions. All right, Monday Memorial Day episode right here on Locked On Lions on the Locked On Podcast Network. Frank Ragnow is a really good football player. And last year, after four games, he suffered a season-ending toe injury. So he only played in four games. But what's great about the offseason in May and June is it kind of is the dog days a little bit, and even July to an extent, is our friends at Pro Football Focus start looking at positions for teams, groups and units, offensive line, defensive line, linebackers, and then the individual stuff as well. And they came out with an article last week. This was written by Ben Lindsay, who wrote about the center position and how they rank the centers in the NFL. And he's got tier one, elite, tier two, still elite, but on the way out, tier three, good veteran starters, tier four, above average starters with a wider range of outcomes, blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on. And so you're thinking, well, Frank Ragnow was a Pro Bowl player 2 years ago, really, really good player, but is he still elite? Well, according to PFF and Ben Lindsay, yes, he is. Tier one elite players at the center position. Number one, Corey Linsley from the Chargers, longtime Packer, who last year was second team All-Pro with the Chargers after moving over from Green Bay to L.A. Number two, Creed Humphrey, who was a second-round pick last year of the Chiefs and just had an amazing year. PFF graded him number one in terms of centers last year with a 91.8 grade. Just insane. Really, really good. And people just said, this Creed Humphrey is something else. And he was great. So they have him at number two in the elite category. Number three, Frank Ragnow of the Lions. They write, Ragnow has steadily improved his overall PFF grade. Every season he's been in the NFL and was on pace for a career year last year before a week four toe injury sidelined him for the remainder of the season. The fifth-year center out of Arkansas has been a steady performer in pass protection, but he really separates himself in the run game. Over the last three seasons, Ragnow grades out above the 90th percentile at the position and run blocking grade in both gap and zone schemes. End quote. When you think about positional players on this team going into this year when PFF dives into more of this throughout the offseason, I don't know if there's another player on the Lions that will be deemed elite. You know, is Hockenson an elite tight end? No. Is Taylor Decker an elite left tackle? No. Is Penei Sewell an elite right tackle? Hopefully on the way, but not yet. Right? Who else is considered elite? Jack Fox? Do we want to talk about punters? Maybe. Who is an elite player on this team at their position? Now, the hope is a guy like Aiden Hutchinson comes in and becomes elite. The hope is, I'm trying to think on the defense. Amani Oruwariye is, really good. I like him. He's not an elite corner. The Lions love Tracy Walker. He's not an elite corner or an elite safety. elite players rarely come around with this franchise and organization. I'm not being a hater. It's the honest, God's honest truth. Rarely do you hear the term elite thrown around for anybody on the Detroit Lions. You want to give Bob Quinn credit for something? He drafted Frank Ragnow. Remember, he played left guard in 2018. He's been the center the last 3 years. How about that? Elite. After Ragnow, by the way, Jason Kelce, J.C. Tretter, Ben Jones, Ryan Jensen, Rodney Hudson, David Andrews, and Chase Rullier of the Commanders. Top three center in the league. Even with missing most of last season due to that toe injury. That's pretty sweet. So when people say, who's the best player on the Lions? It's Frank Ragnow. At least if you're a Pro Football Focus guy, and I am. Best player on the Lions right here, right now, is Frank Ragnow. Look at the grade. Look what people think. And look at the rest of the roster. That's a Monday edition of Locked On Lions, everybody, on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in, making us your first listen. Enjoy Memorial Day. Have a great day off, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.